All right. What's the scoop on the NBC News report from 7 a.m. Sunday saying that the Democrats are actively seeking to weaken civilian control of the military in the fear that Trump is going to have them arrested or order an assassination or something of that kind?
So I haven't read up enough on it to really comment competently, but that's what I was talking about earlier. And Terry, you put it so much better than I did. That was weaken civilian control over the military. That's key. In other words, our military is a civilian controlled military. We do not have a general ultimately in charge of our military. We have a member of the people, somebody we voted in. They are in charge ultimately, the military. Yes, they're trying to apparently create protocols that would not allow for the commander in chief, the civilian based head of our military, to have ultimate command and control authority, and that is horrifying. But again, these are Democrats don't care. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about you. Actually, as a matter of fact, they hate you. They want to replace you. They're trying to replace you right now with millions of illegal immigrants, because at least they think they'll be compliant. I think they're wrong in that. I think they're very stupid. That's the other thing. But they're also very sinister. So that's about as much as I can comment on at this point until I do the research needed to really understand what the nuances are of that.
Aaron Greenway has a longer question. Dr. Steve, my question refers to your observations regarding the divide between the ruling class and the ruled. I want you to know that I see what you're seeing. However, many Christian voices, including Orthodox, say that Christ's return is close. Coming from an evangelical background, if the world is moving away from an elite-controlled system, and if Christ's return is truly imminent, then how would an antichrist truly be able to take the control of the world stage?
Wow, okay. Aaron, you're giving me some powerful eschatology there. All right, so... All right, how do I want to answer this in a way that doesn't get too complex and satisfies everything you just said there? So in many ways, I have a theory of society and how society and culture functions that I get from Peterim Sorokin, the Russian sociologist. Who ended up coming over to the United States. I believe it was at Harvard University. He's a brilliant sociologist. And the rise of a post-secular society, post-secular world, is causing a lot of scholars to reevaluate Sorokin's theory of social order and society. What Sorokin basically argued is that societies begin begin in a period of civilizational ideationalism, where religion and tradition and the sense of the holy pervade society very, very strongly. But then over time, society ends up, you know, whether it's because the material conditions are making people more materialist or whatever, society goes into an idealist period where religious ideas and institutions are still relevant, but more, for lack of a better term, more secular, worldly institutions begin to have almost an equal relevance. And then inevitably societies end up in what's called a sensate stage, and that's where they become morally degenerate, and that's where religious ideals and so forth have lost all of their force and all of their strength, and the population loses its way. But what makes Sorokin so interesting is he saw not the total destruction of that society. That can happen. The society can fall apart. What he tended to see, though, is there's a period of renewal. There is a period of restoration. There's a period of revival. And that reawakens the civilization. And the civilization has a new birth. And then it often goes through those stages again. Now, Sorokin is coming from a Russian Orthodox perspective of the world. And if you'll notice, there is a kind of very fascinating sort of biblical pattern that you're seeing there. You know, Israel is born and they're faithful, and you know, it climaxes with the Davidic kingdom, but and Solomon and so forth. But then all of a sudden you start seeing some wickedness starting to come in, and then the society degenerates fully and they fall into exile. And then there's a renewal that comes in where the messianic hopes and the like. There seems to be a structure like that throughout the Bible. So he seems to be on to a biblical conception of society. And then if you want to see it really, like, for lack of a better term, the magic here, there's even a real Christological dimension where you have the incarnation, you know, and the glory of Christ is seen by, you know, the magi and the shepherds and so on and so forth. And then you have the life of Christ play out with all of its ambiguities. Some are with him, some are against him, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, you have the hour of shadows, you have the Judas, you have the darkness, you have the cross and the death of Christ and the darkness of all things. But then what happens? Resurrection. And that's exactly how Russians today, the Russian church, sees what happened to Russia. The communist period was its sensate period, its death period, as it were, and now they're rising again. Scholars have argued this is sort of what we've seen with Christendom as a whole, where Christendom was like, you know, the birth and life of Christ, and then the Enlightenment comes in, scientific rationalism, technocracy, globalism, and so forth, death, darkness. And now what are we seeing today in this new post-secular world? We're seeing resurrection. We're seeing the springtide of Christian society returning, and just religiosity returning. The Hindus would call it Sat Yuga, where the Kali Yuga was the age of darkness and vice. And now the age of wisdom and virtues returning. So what I'm giving to you is I'm giving you both a theoretical and a theological overlap of the way society plays itself out. In that framework, as 1 John says, there is an antichrist, but even now there are, as John 1 John's letter says, there are many antichrists. So the Great Tribulation, I would argue, like in Matthew 24, happened in 70 AD. It was the destruction of the temple. Luke, if I recall, it's Luke 21, makes it very clear that when you see the armies and the insignia of the eagle, the Romans, circling the temple, then you and surrounding Jerusalem, then you know the hour's there. I don't think he's talking about the future per se. I mean, it was future for them, but I think it was the immediate future on 70 AD and the destruction of Jerusalem. But that is also seen because God works out, as we see, the life of Christ in types, in topologies. So David is a type of Christ, and Solomon is a type of Christ, and the temple is a type of Christ in terms of Christ's body with the fullness of God dwelling therein, and Rome is a type of Babylon and so forth. So it works in what are called typologies, and those typologies ultimately find their fulfillment in and through Christ. Even the whole of the created order is a type of the Logos, the Christ who holds it all together. John chapter 1 of Colossians 1:15 is the image of the visible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things cohere. Is the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, in whom the whole of the created order coheres. So then we could even go deeper, and so you have in Orthodox theology the idea of the incarnation being the eighth day of creation, the restoration of creation, Christ taking on the human, or the Son taking on the human body forever. Is God entering into his physical creation, which is the climactic creative moment, the ultimate, and of course, the death and then resurrection, the restoration of all things being the fulfillment of that climax. All of that's to say that there are cycles going on, but they're leading somewhere. It's not just an endless cycle. It's going somewhere to an ultimate return of Christ, bodily return of Christ, restoration of the cosmos, resurrection of the dead. You've got Christ embodies the human being, and so therefore all humans are raised, and of course then there is a judgment. But all of that's to say, this is the pattern that I see happening. And who's to say, as it were, that this return of Christ that we see, you know, all these events happening are pointing to the actual ultimate physical return, the last act, as it were, of this side of heaven's history. Who's to say that is happening now? It could be like in 70 AD, typological outworkings that point to that ultimate event, that point to an ultimate Antichrist preceding him and so forth, but are happening now at more typological levels where you have many Antichrists. And in a sense, you have a return of Christ, but in the restoration of traditionalist society, civilizationalist society all over the world. But as it's all ultimately working to that end moment that no man on earth knows the day or the time of. So there you go. That's the that's the theoretical and theological outworking. I do tend to see my eschatology tends to be cyclical in accordance with a biblical pattern as well as a sociological pattern. And I think we are always getting closer and closer and closer to that end time when Christ does finally return. But until then, I think you have lots of falls. I think you have lots of antichrists. And I think you have lots of restorations and returns, but all typological, pointing to the ultimate. And I don't know if we're there for the ultimate yet. We may just be in one of these typological outworkings that are getting us closer, but that ultimate return may be far, far, far away from now. Make sure to show some love to our sponsors, and those are the amazing patriots over at GoldCo, who are here to help protect your financial freedom. Now, you may have heard about President Trump issuing a very dire warning about America and the very thing we depend on to live, and that's the U.S. dollar. If Trump's warning comes true, this could be bigger than losing any war. But if Trump's prediction is right, and he's been right about a lot of things, and we lose our status as the world's reserve currency, I mean, imagine how this could impact your retirement savings and your quality of life. So that's why you should take Trump's warning seriously by clicking on that link below right now, or go to turleywarning.com, because there you'll see what thousands of Americans are doing to help protect their savings before it's too late. Plus, when you click on that link below right now, you'll even see how to get up to $10,000 in free silver to protect your savings. But don't wait. We may not have long if Trump's prophecy comes true. So hurry up and click on that link below, or go to turleywarning.com right now. I hope you enjoyed that clip of my Monday night Insiders Club live stream. Join us live next week by clicking on the link in the description below and joining the coalition of patriots worldwide, building a parallel economy to return to our roots of faith, family, and freedom. Click below right now.